Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Catherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Catherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
I like learning new things. And that kind of struck me as the way you are, that you are comfortable learning new things and venturing out into new things. Have you always been that kind of person?
I have, but that's kind of where my marriage was holding me back from being able to do that stuff. So all of a sudden, I just have this like new lease on life, and I'm ready to go run out and
just don't run in traffic.
What?
I said, just don't run in traffic.
I'm not going to run in traffic at all. You know, like God is just going to carry me into all kinds of places. I'm so excited.
Have you seen some of the things that he wants you to do, or have you had some of those visions?
I definitely do. Like, I definitely have, like, you know, to be just perfectly candid with you, I have the Beth Moore vision.
No, that strikes me perfectly, because I can remember the first time I went to a Beth Moore study. You know, I had really been moving in my relationship with God, and then from high school until just out of college, not so much. And I was sitting in that first Beth Moore study, and I heard just as plain as day, this was supposed to be you. And I just kind of went, ow. And I knew it wasn't that I was supposed to be Beth Moore. I was supposed to be, but I understood that he wanted me to take a message to people in a very broad spectrum, but I wasn't there because I had made the choices I made.
Yeah.
That's just not nice.
No, but, you know, thank God he's a God of second chances, right?
Absolutely.
And I have no doubt you're binding up brokenhearted.
I'm like I said, I'm the rainbows and lollipops host, so I'm giving people encouragement even if they don't want it.
Yeah, I am too. And I think that's what kind of bothers the men in my family. Like, my 11-year-old is just outspoken. He's like, Mom, you don't have to find something good in every situation. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's just who I am.
That conversation goes on regularly. It's more between my husband and me, because he was brought up in a very negative family.
Right.
And so he's always looking for the hole that we're about to fall in, as opposed to the mountain that we're climbing. He's ready to fall into the pit. And it's been fun for my children, because they've always grown up looking for the possibility.
Yeah.
And so they'll do that. But I watched a movie, and I don't know if you've ever seen it. The prize winner of Defiance, Ohio. It is a book, but that was made into a movie. And she's like that. Her husband's very negative. And at one point in time, the kids and her are in the other room, and they're laughing and they're having a good time. And Dad comes in and he says, "You're just always so happy."
Yeah, that's kind of a problem in my life.
And so my husband has kind of taken that as his mantra now. He just looked at me. It's just because you're so happy.
Sorry.
You'll either learn to live with it or you'll leave. That's the only two choices people have, is they either accept the possibilities with me or they choose not to be around me.
Right.
And that it's painful.
Yeah.
To run into that, but it's also freeing to know I'm not responsible for them.
Right. Right. That's kind of where I am, sort of marriage wise, is my husband lost his contract that was kind of sustaining his business. And I knew there was a big possibility of that, and I kept trying to prime him for it. And, you know, what's it going to look like when this, if this comes in, and he just wouldn't really go there. And so then when it happened, kind of typical to his demeanor, he started to kind of take it out on me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, just think of all the opportunities you have now. You've been wanting to do X, Y, and Z. And he's like, I can't even share my dreams with you anymore, because you make me feel bad every time I don't do something. And that did it for me.
And it doesn't. It doesn't make him feel bad, coming from one. You know what's interesting is I'm finding so many women that God has given this vision to, or given this heart to, really reach a multitude. And they are teamed up with very similar husbands. And I don't think it happened because we made bad choices. It's too consistent. I'm seeing it consistently across the board.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of, if they can ever get to their place, then it'll be like the dynamic duo will be unstoppable.
Right.
But helping them get to their place. I tell people that sometimes you can't encourage a discouraged husband, especially if you're a natural born encourager.
Right.
Because all they hear is nagging.
Yeah.
They don't hear encouragement. And that's what happened with him is he didn't hear you encouraging him. He heard you nagging him for not doing more.
You're exactly right. You know, and I, that's who I am. That's my gift. And I can't be in an environment where my gift is just being sucked out of me and trampled on and just been dying. You know, I'm a woman of God. The last thing I'd ever want to do is kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But, but God knows full on, I have left no stone unturned and I have so much peace. And I think he's going to grow without me there. You know, he's gonna have to find his own encouragement, as I've had to find being in a marriage with someone who wasn't encouraging. I will never regret a day of it because God, like, just I had to go to God year after year after year. If I wanted some encouragement, if I wanted attagirl, if I wanted love, tenderness, anything, I had to go to God. And so that's what was so cool. Like, I know that about God. I know that he's capable of doing that. And so he, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was like, oh, literally, oh, well, that's where we're going now.
Whatever, God.
Exactly.
At least you're driving. That's all I got to say.
If I hadn't have suffered like that, I never would have had that understanding.
And really, that's what living an encouraged life is about. It's not having perfect circumstances. It's about becoming so dependent on God that the circumstances don't matter.
Right.
And I have never been through cancer, but I have been through the tornadoes of 2011. And we're in North Alabama. So we were actually, Alabama was hit with 237 tornadoes that in one day on the 27th. And our area got hit with 4. And it's no big deal to me now. It was really no big deal to me then. But being able to say, hey, I've been through something that only God could have gotten me through. And whether it's your health or it's a natural disaster or it's the death of a loved one, that's where it comes from. It comes from that relationship with God. And that's what inspired me about you, is I immediately saw that kindred. It doesn't matter what the world or the enemy throws at me. I have my foundation and the rest of y'all can just neener off.
Yeah. It's true. And not to say that I'm not shaken and bounced off it at times. And there aren't times when I'm like mad at God. I'm just like, yo, this is too much. You said you wouldn't do more than I could take. And here we are.
I am there. But you have that relationship with him where you're comfortable being mad at him.
What I love is that I can get mad at him. And when I had cancer, there were days when I was just like, had my back to him. And I'm like, no, I'm not talking to you. And I knew that he didn't have his back to me.
Right. Yes.
With his arms folded. I'm not talking to you.
That's right. Because he never leaves us. It's like us with our kids. I mean, there are times when our kids are just like, I'm not talking to you. You're the worst mother ever.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that that's what God hears. And he hears it not in a negative light. He hears it in that, I know you're not where you want to be, but that's okay. Right. And I know we have a relationship and we'll all talk it out eventually. You go over and pout.
Right.
And when you're ready, come back to me.
Yeah. So like my message right now for women is, so I have this vision. Sometimes I feel like Martin Luther King Jr., like I have a dream, but I do. It's this vision. And I just believe in my heart of hearts that God went in every one of our hearts and planted a seed and that we keep it in there because we're scared or because there's negativity around us, right, or we have our own lies, or our parents told us we couldn't, or we have deformities of some type, or, you know, I have ADD. There's no way I could be anybody.
Right.
You know, because I was a loser in school. I was the failure, and it was in the 70s, and we didn't really have ADD. And I was the only one in there, like, watching the clock the whole time. And, you know, something was totally wrong with me. And so that was sort of my mentality. And then all of a sudden, God's like, well, this is what I want you to do. And I was like, no. There's no way. But I was obedient. So I'd be like, Lord, I can't do that. But I'm gonna step out on a limb for you because of what you did for me. So when I was saved, it was just like, wow, everything left me. It was just gone. I had been in total bondage. I had no idea I was in it. And when it was gone, I was like, whatever, I'll do whatever you want. I do not care. And I did. And I mean, scared people to death. They're like, get that girl away from me.
That girl's crazy. And yeah, I was sharing that with a friend, you know, that so often you get that, have you lost your mind? You are a crazy person. And I was sharing this with another author friend of mine, and she said, well, that's because I am. I have lost my mind. I have the mind of Christ now.
Yeah.
There you go. So we can be crazy, and we're supposed to be crazy when the world looks at us. Yeah. And I'm sure you've run into that some where people have just kind of, are you sure?
You know, I grew up with that. So we grew up in a non-Bible believing home. We went to church, but we weren't Bible believers. In fact, you could almost do anything except that.
Were you Episcopalian?
Yes.
But yes, I can totally relate because I was raised in an Episcopal church, Episcopal priests. I, you know, I can always pick out the Baptists when they visit because we go to a Methodist church now and because they have their Bibles. Oh, you must be one of them Baptists. And of course, the Episcopalians aren't afraid to sit on the front row because that was the row of prestige and importance. Right. And so I can pick those out too. We're very diverse, but I understand what you mean by you go.
Well, I just, you know, I participated. I was an acolyte. I, you know, I went and I believed in God. You know, I really believed in God. I prayed, but I never knew that Jesus died for my sin and that he knew how many hairs were on my head. And, you know, that by believing in his death and resurrection and trusting God with my sin and my life and believing that message that I would be raised from the dead when I leave here. No idea. I mean, we sang about the resurrection and we sang about heaven.
And you read it every single Sunday.
Yeah.
And you spoke it every single Sunday.
But I had no idea that applied to me. And so when I prayed that prayer with Pat Robertson on the 700 Club one time watching television, I was like, whoa, I don't know what just happened, but it was significant. I just literally felt God reaching into my chest and pulling everything out. And I was scared to death. I knew it was God, but I was like, what in the world was that? But it felt so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, oh man. And so then I was just like, I kept going back and watching that show every day. I'm like, what did happen? And then I realized I was born again. And I was like, oh. And then I started thinking about my cousins that were born again. And I'd been raised to think they were cuckoo.
Yes, yes.
And I realized, I'm like, they're not cuckoo at all. They're Christian. And I was so thankful for them because they actually live. I grew up in Texas and they live in Maryland. And so when I got saved, I was able to just go fellowship with them immediately and admit to them I've been wrong. That was hard. Like, oh, it turns out you were right and I was wrong.
I was fortunate in my upbringing because I was raised by a spirit-filled Christian in the Episcopal church.
Right, right.
So I was a freak out the door.
Good.
But do you think that growing up in that kind of, one of the things I liked about the Episcopal church was the reverence
mm-hmm.
that was the ceremony of the church. You know, you didn't talk in the church, and you knelt and you gave homage to the altar and recognized, especially as an acolyte, you bowed at the cross, and if you crossed in front of it, or we did, that's the way we were praying. And then I went to a Southern Baptist church, and they were talking, and they brought drinks in there. I was like, don't you go to hell for that?
Yeah.
Do you think that having that reverence helped you in your relationship?
It was, you know, maybe not. I mean, I certainly liked it. I knew it. It was dependable. Like, that's what I depended on. That's what I knew. I knew those prayers, even though they didn't really mean anything to me. So I'll tell you, when I was about 21, I was searching, and I converted to Catholicism.
Wow.
And so that was a 9-month process. And I was like, okay, I'm Catholic. Still did not understand the gospel. But I had a great experience with that. And then I married, and this is really special. I had a marriage ceremony. It was my mother's Episcopalian, and we were Catholic. And so we got married in the Episcopal church with a Catholic priest who let everybody have communion. Everybody held hands during the Our Father. So we were very, it was really, really special to have that experience. And now, so when I came to know the Lord personally, I left the Catholic Church a little bitter, because I was like, hey, I invested all this into this church, and I never understood salvation. I never understood that freedom that I experienced. And so, but one thing that was really weird, and I don't talk about this too much, because there's a lot of judgment between all the denominations, right? And all this stuff. And I don't want to be the center of it. But the truth is, when I was sick, there was this Catholic presence that came into my life that was very different than all the other people in my life. It was, I can't quite describe it. It was this servant thing going on. And it drew me back to the Catholic Church. And so now I literally, I am a church junkie. I go to, you know, evangelical, you know, my Jesus tattoo showed up, and then I go to mass, and I hold my Jesus tattoo out, and the priest just freaks out when they see it. They're thinking, there's no way that girl's looking for communion with that tattoo on her wrist, but I do. So I know, like, the priest would probably be like, you can't do that. And I, you know, I've told my pastor, I'm like, I want you to know, I go to the Catholic Church, and I do both. And I know God's totally cool with it. So I love, so your question was the reverence, right? And I love it. So yes. For me, a daily mass is a 30 minutes of going in. You hear two scripture readings, the gospel, you hear a tiny little sermon, and then you're on your knees and you're receiving communion. And it is just so special for me. It really takes me out of my world and just into God's presence in a church.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That was the biggest loss. It was almost a loss for me when we switched denominations, and we've switched several times as well. I think it's funny that you were married in a Episcopal church by a Catholic priest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were married in a Presbyterian church by Episcopal priests.
Wow. So nice that they do all that, isn't it?
It's interesting that it's almost lost, because I've seen some of the other churches. They take the communion, but the reverence in the Catholic Church and the Episcopal churches, to me, makes it more of the covenant experience than I have experienced in other churches.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And the one thing that's hard for me, and this is just a self-conscious issue, is like when I take communion in the Protestant church, I'll be really honest with you, it's not nearly as meaningful as it is for me in the Catholic Church. And I want to cross myself, and I feel like I can't, because people are going to know that I'm Catholic and they're going to judge me, you know?
Well, I have the benefit of everybody already knows, because I'm from a small town and the Episcopal mm-hmm. church is built on family property. So there's no getting away from my Episcopal roots. When we first started going to a Baptist church, they kept coming up to me going, does your mother know you're here? Yes, my mother is aware of us attending a Baptist church. The Baptist church was fine. When we started going to the Assembly of God, she was a little nervous. But, you know, I understand. We do cross ourselves. I taught my kids to cross themselves, so they cross themselves. I do not genuflect.
Yeah.
I've broken myself of that habit because that really, that messes up the whole line.
Right. If
you, you stop the genuflect, they run right over you. And then. So I don't have to worry about that. But so God has put a new song into your heart, or he's uncovered the stuff that had piled up on that seed. And the seed starting to bloom or starting to grow. The balance is possible. There is a place that I can get to where my reverence for God and my friendship to God coexist. I get excited when I think about taking a stroll with God in the garden. And it brings a smile to my face when I think about the possibilities that come from a reverent friendship like that. And Charlotte is just a pure delight. Her laughter sparks my laughter and feeds warmth into my soul. It reminds me, again, of the importance of sharing with friends, sharing laughter, sharing smiles, sharing the things that inspire and encourage each of us. Because when I share what builds me up with you, it does two things. First of all, it builds me up even more just in the sharing. I mean, try telling a story that made you laugh without finding a smile creeping up on your own face. It makes us smile to share a smile. The more I share encouragement, the more encouragement grows up in me. And the second thing that it does, sharing gives the person I'm sharing with, gives you a little bit of what I'm sharing. A little bit of that laughter or that smile or that encouragement. And the most amazing thing about encouragement and smiles and laughter is that there's really no limit to them. They just keep growing. They're exponential in their growth. In other words, the more I share, the more it grows. And the more it grows, the more there is to share. But now that I'm thinking about it, it goes even deeper than that. Because when I share an honest relationship with you, then I begin to understand that honest relationship that God desires with me. He wants to be walking and talking with me. He wants us to laugh together. And he wants our relationship to be so honest that I can open up and I can cry with him. Because he gets it. Nothing I come up with surprises him. He gets that I'm angry at him, even if he isn't responsible. He gets that I'm upset at the situation he hasn't fixed, even if the situation was not his doing. He gets that I'm going to ignore him sometimes because I have my own agenda and he is not cooperating. But he loves me. And he is patiently waiting the moment when I will trust him and I will love him just as much as he loves me. I think I've edged up to that moment a few times. Like when I faced my mom's death with comfort and peace. It wasn't because of my own strength, but because I knew without a doubt that he was walking me through it. When we faced the tornadoes in 2011 and I stood with strength and security, it wasn't because the winds weren't whipping around and tearing trees up and the devastation wasn't obvious. It was because his strength was even more obvious despite all that noise. It all becomes a little easier and a little better when I can settle into that reverent friendship with God. And that is why I thank God for drawing me into relationships with women like Charlotte. I look forward to the opportunities of visiting with Charlotte more in the future. And I do hope that you'll be back next week as she and I continue on this path of finding your uniqueness and then living it out. Not just living it out, but being bold in that uniqueness. It amazes me how much it empowers each and every one of us when we discover that we're not supposed to be living in boxes, that we are designed unique, and that we're supposed to live out that uniqueness. When you uncover your unique seed, that seed that was planted in you at the beginning of time, it makes all things new. You can learn more about Charlotte Cole or about her testimony, or you can also purchase a copy of her book by visiting her website. It's www.charlottesheart.com. That's www.charlotteshear.com. So go over there and see what she's up to. She's sharing her heart to help others become courageous women of purpose.
We are Growing Hope.
Hello there. I am Catherine Lang, your Rainbows and Lollipops host. Now, I just want to let you know, some days I have it all together, at least for a little while, and some days I have nothing together at all. And which side of the fence I fall on usually has a lot to do with my focus. Now, when I'm focused on God, I do things better. I do better than when I focus on the waves. It turns out that I can walk on water if I have the right focus. But I have to get that right focus, and then I have to find a way to keep that right focus. I'm on a journey to grow up a friendship with God. I've always understood the value of true friendship. Growing up, I had a lot of friends. I come from a small town, and in a small town, everyone knows everyone. We went to school together from kindergarten to graduation. If you add to that my extroverted personality, my parents will tell you I never met a stray I didn't bring home. I never met a stranger. Even the new people that came to town were quickly sucked into the fold. There was a group of folks that I spent most of my time with, but even though I spent more time with them than I did the others, I still considered them all my friends. My dad warned me that there was a difference between the people that I knew and those that I could truly call friends. He said that I would be lucky to walk away from school with the number of friends I could count on one hand. I smiled at him then. And after graduation from college, I went to visit one of my friends. She said some things that hurt me. And on the way home, I was really contemplating the complete fiasco that had been that meeting. She's my friend. How could that happen? I was talking to the guy that was with me when it all happened, and he was very quiet and finally asked me a series of questions. The first was, "Do you love her?" I said, "Yes, I love her. I did love her. We'd been friends for as long as I could remember. We'd supported each other. We defended each other. We celebrated each other's wins. Of course I love her. Would you die for her?" Now that question made me pause. I really thought about it. Would I put my life on the line for her? Would I be willing to die for her? I finally answered yes. Yes, I would. I'd put myself in uncomfortable places before for her, and I knew I would be willing to go even farther to protect her. His last question hit home. "Would she die for you?" I was speechless. I looked back on our relationship and I realized that she might be willing to help me out of a jam if it was convenient for her or didn't cost her too much. She might even be willing to get in a little trouble with me. But I had no doubt in my mind that she would never be willing to die for me. When I answered his question, I remembered my dad's warning, and I finally understood it. My dad was trying to tell me that true friends, the kind that would lay down their lives for you, those are few and very far between. I still call folks friends, but I understand that the deeper friendship is hard to come by. It's like the difference between the philo love and the agape love. One is warm and fuzzy, and one is foundational. I want to build up the kind of foundational relationships that will grow me to where I am supposed to be. The choir at church used to sing a song, a praise song, that said, "I am a friend of God, and that God calls me a friend." I was visiting with Charlotte Cole, and we were talking about reverence for God and being comfortable in a relationship with God, and I began to make the connection that I'm called into a friendship with God. The moment I began to think of my relationship with God in terms of friendship, I remembered the qualities that my dad and that guy had both taught me to seek out in friendship. Loyalty, sacrifice, love, value, understanding. And I recognize that I have all of that in God. But there's always two sides to a friendship coin. The other lesson I learned the hard way. It turns out that I'm failing on my side of the friendship relationship with God. Too often I find something better to do than to spend time with Him. Too many times I put my own wants above His. Too many times He falls into the cracks of my life and I walk right over Him. If I truly want to have that friendship relationship with God, then I have to begin to do my part to grow that friendship. I'm starting a new journey into a friendship with God. And for the next 30 days, I'm going to commit to pursuing that friendship with consistency and diligence with just these 5 steps. This is how I'm going to be building a friendship with God. First, I'm going to spend time with Him each and every day. Second, I'm going to choose to make God a priority in my life. Third, I'm going to respect God. Respect His words. Respect His commandments. Fourth, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to make time to stop and to hear Him. And fifth, I'm going to remember Him. I'm going to set aside a way to recognize everything about Him that has happened in my life and through my life. God is doing His part. And God is also making a way for me to do my part as well, because God desires that friendship with me. He desires the walk with me and talk with me, foundational friendship. And I know that if I begin to invest honestly in that friendship with God, then I will see a difference in every aspect of my life. Now, Growing Hope is going to take a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to share more details on these 5 steps and my thoughts on making them a practical part of my day-to-day choices. Growing Hope will be back after these messages. This is your Growing Hope Scripture Focus. Each week, I will share a favorite Bible verse and challenge you to memorize and study that verse over the next 7 days. By putting the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds with consistency, those words will settle in and begin to grow fruit that shows forth in our own words and in our own actions. This week's verse is Proverbs 31, 30 through 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her own hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. See, it's not about grace and elegance, because these will disappoint or betray you. It's not about beauty, because beauty is but a breath. It is about my personal, focused relationship with God, and that is what allows me to shine the brightest and make the largest impact in my life and in my world. The things that I choose to do, and the way that I choose to invest my resources, that is what makes the difference. The actions that I take each moment of my day, whether I'm moving closer to God or moving further away from God, that is what determines whether or not I am praised at the gates. The other morning, I woke to the words of a song about how God makes all things glorious. And then the singer says, "What does that make me?" It struck me in that moment that I am glorious, not because of my beauty or because of my favor or even because of what I do. I am glorious because of God. And when God is my focus, then I walk out my day in His glory. This has been your Growing Hope Scripture Focus.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
The sound of the door unlocking made her heart speed up. Her reasonable mind told her there was nothing on the other side, but reason had lost its argument long ago. It was time to face the past, no matter how much she wanted to run. Run, the pulse-quickening first novel in the Big Spring series from Catherine C. Lang. Don't look back. Get it today in paperback or ebook at Amazon.com or KatherineLang.com. Run.
R&D Computer Solutions, serving all your computer needs. We provide low-cost hosting options, complete website development, and online troubleshooting service. No matter what your needs, the staff at R&D Computer Solutions will be there to help you find the answer. Visit www.rdcss.com to learn more about R&D Computer Services, a family-owned and Christian-run quality computer business.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Hello and welcome back to Growing Hope Radio. I am still Katherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, because there is always hope. It's just sometimes I have to be willing to invest a little more to find it than at other times. And today I'm investing in friendships, in particular investing in a personal friendship with God. Now, before the break, I offered up the 5 steps I plan to take over the next 30 days to grow up this foundational friendship with God. 1, spend time with Him. 2, make Him a priority. 3, respect Him. 4, listen to Him. And 5, remember Him. Now, this all started with a chat I had with Charlotte Cole, author of Heartbeats for Cancer. And we were talking about having a reverence for God and also being comfortable and confident in a personal relationship with God. It got me thinking that God does call me friend because He is faithful and devoted in His friendship to me. But I began to see that I'm not a faithful and devoted friend to God. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there are no acts required to my relationship with God. He's done it. He's paid the price. I get that. I get there's nothing I can do for God that God is not able to do for Himself. But if we're being honest with each other, then we can agree that true friendship is so much more than what I can do for you. As a matter of fact, when you really think about it, what I can do for you is more of a business relationship than a foundational friendship. I began to look at the heart of my relationship with God, and I realized that I'm unable to hold up my end of the friendship, even in the most basic sense of the word. So I became determined to begin actively pursuing an opportunity to grow up my side of this friendship. Because let's face it, if focus makes the difference, then focusing on God, well, that's going to make all the difference in the world. And the first thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be getting back to my time with God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to invest in the relationship. I started at the beginning of the year spending more time with God. And then as the year progressed, I became more convicted. And around Easter, I began to invest even more time with God. But it wasn't long before I let both of those things slip, because my wants and my needs overrode my focus on God. And for the record, that is exactly how the waves suck me in. So I'm going back to the time with God. I'm going to back to time with God in the morning and time with God in the evening. Because I believe that if He is my focus at the start and at the end, then all that stuff in between, well, it's going to become a little bit easier. The second step that I am taking over these next 30 days is to make God a priority, which goes along with the first step. See, part of the reason that I let that time with God slip is because I let something else have His time. A true friendship means that I make His time the priority over my personal wants or interests or likes. God understands that emergencies happen. Let's face it, we all understand that emergencies happen, but most of the things that I let derail me are so far from emergencies that it's laughable. I mean, let's be honest, most of the time it's because of my procrastination or my lack of focus that I'm in the situation in the first place. So first, I'm going to invest in God, and then I'm going to make Him a priority. The third step is that I'm going to respect God. I confess I fall short in this area too. It's a struggle that I have. You know, I say I reverence God, and in some situations, I really do. In the traditions and doctrines, I feel that overwhelming reverence. But respect means that I do what He tells me to do. Because I honor His wishes, and I believe that His directions are correct. And I fall flat in this area of friendship almost every single moment of my day. Because I know better. And it's usually the days that I don't invest in my time with God, or I don't make Him a priority, that I really, really know better. And I choose to do what I want to do. And I disregard God. And that is not respectful. It's amazing to me how all of this works together. If I spend time with God and God becomes the priority for my day, then all of a sudden I'm honoring His directions and I'm showing honor to Him and for Him in my day-to-day activities. Now, step four is to listen to God, because the world is a chaotic and noisy place. There is something coming at me from every single direction, almost every single moment of the day. Even opening up my email bombards me with stuff that I neither want to see nor I need to see. Negative thoughts, complaining stories, even gossip are all that seems to fill the news feeds. And it's easy to get lost in it all. Unless I choose to stop, to look, and to listen. I learned that lesson in kindergarten, but it hasn't changed. I have to stop and get away from all of it, from the radio, the television, the computer, yes, even the cell phones and the tablets, so that I can look around me and I can see God. Because God is all around me all the time. And then in that moment when I'm experiencing God, I begin to hear from Him in the breeze, in the blessings, and even in my heart. Part of that hearing will come from the remembering. So step five is to remember God. When I write down all the things that God has done for me, when I take time to go through all the blessings, I remember that continuous effort He makes to be my friend. I reaffirm that God really is doing His part in this foundational friendship. God is a friend of mine, and God does call me friend, but it is time for me to step up and to do my part. Now, Growing Hope Radio is going to take another break, but when we come back, I'm going to share with you some of the scriptures that are helping me in this pursuit of a foundational relationship with God by helping me to understand His desire to be my friend and the people that have reached out to Him in friendship in the past. Growing Hope Radio will be back after these brief messages. This is the Growing Hope Review. Each week I'll share with you one of my favorite Bible studies, books, movies, or maybe even a television show, and I'll tell you why it moved me to share. Although I know we each get something different out of the things that we encounter, I also know that when we're moved by words, then others are likely to be moved as well. This week's review is on the book, How to Encourage the Man in Your Life by H. Norman Wright. I found this book when my husband and I were struggling in our marriage. I needed some advice on how to grow up a godly marriage. I read this book in just 2 days, and my husband immediately noticed and commented on the difference in my attitude and in my actions. The greatest thing about this book for me is that it also helped me work through my relationships with my dad and my brothers and my father-in-law and my sons, all of the men in my life. It is not easy to encourage someone, especially if you need encouragement yourself. And it's not that easy to encourage someone, especially if you're not even in the mood to like them all that much. See, I was there. And it was there in that place of, I don't like you all that much, that Wright's words spoke to my heart and ultimately helped to change my heart. It's not a hard read, other than it was a little hard on my personal pride, but it is definitely a blessed read. This book is out of print, but you can still find copies through Amazon. It's about 208 pages and makes a great addition to a women's study or a book group. This has been the Growing Hope Review.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Can we chat? Sitting around with your friends and sharing your ideas and thoughts can be the perfect way to grow encouragement for your day. Discipling Women Damage Control is part of the Christian Discipleship TV family. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central Time, Caroline Savage, Lynn Marino, Catherine Lang, and Valia Drakes come together to share joy in the Word, of the Word, and through the Word. You can watch the show live or visit the ChristianDiscipleshipMinistries.com website for all the archived programs. Come be a part of Discipling Women Damage Control, where we're controlling the damage the enemy can do in our lives by learning and growing through the Word.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Growing Hope, where we are creating hearts open to pursue the extraordinary.
Welcome back to this final segment of Growing Hope Radio, where I, Catherine Lang, your determined and diligent Rainbows and Lollipops host, I am seeking out ways to grow up my end of a friendship with God. Before the break, I was sharing with you the 5 steps I intend to implement over the next 30 days in order to do my part in this foundational friendship. Because I know God is doing His part. I see God doing His part. And you know, amazingly, I see that God is also making the way for me to do my part. And my 5 steps are really simple. 1, spend time with God. 2, make God a priority. 3, respect God. In other words, do what He says. 4, listen to God. And 5, remember what God is doing in my life. Now, maybe you'll take this challenge as well, because we know that our focus drives our direction. And a determined, diligent focus on God like this, it will drive me in the right direction every single time. God's not trying to make it difficult for me. God has made a way. Jesus reminds me that I'm His friend. In Scripture, He tells me, He calls me His friend. He says in John 15:15, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In other words, everything that God has told Jesus, Jesus has told us, because Jesus considers us His friend. Jesus goes on to tell me the things that He has done to uphold His end of the friendship. And He also warns me that things are going to happen and the world is going to try to convince me that Jesus is not my friend and to make me question the friendship. But Jesus also continues to tell me how He is preparing the defense against the world. In Matthew 11:28, He calls me to come to Him. He says, come to me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He goes on to tell me that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. God's not trying to make this tough on me. I am the one that makes it tough on me. I am the one that choose to do my way. And by doing my own thing, my own thing is not God's thing. And if it's not God's thing, it is sin. Whatever the magic it may be for that moment, it's still sin. It's not required that I do anything. It's not required that I be anything to receive this friendship that God has so uniquely designed. All I have to do is ask and accept. In James 2:23, we're told that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called
the friend of God. All Abraham did was believe God. And all I'm called to do is believe God and to accept that sacrificial gift of salvation. See, from the very beginning, God desired to have fellowship with me. In Genesis 1, he set out to make man in his image, to make man like him, because like things are so greatly connected. And then God came down and walked with them in the garden. That type of relationship was lost because of the choices man made, not because of what God chose. God wants to have that connection. In Deuteronomy 6:5, he reminds me to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Now that is a mighty connection. But this friendship with God, it's a heart issue. It's not a works issue. It's not something I can gain by my actions. It is a heart issue. That is why Abraham was called the friend of God, because he believed. See, Abraham had a heart for God. In Jeremiah 29:13, God promises that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. If I truly want to have a personal friendship with God, then it must begin in my heart. My part is even easier than I want to admit. I believe God. I really honestly get to the point where I believe what he says is true. And then I set my heart to God, because when I have fed my mind to the point that it believes, it's settled into my heart. And what is in the heart is what comes out in my life. So I believe God. I set my heart to God. And then that foundational friendship naturally grows. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey towards growing up this friendship with God. I really do hope that you're going to take time this week to think about your own friendship with God and maybe to pursue a deeper friendship with him. Please connect with me over the week and share with me about your journey into this friendship. If you have any questions or concerns you want to share, you can easily email me directly at radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio at katherinelang.com. Remember, Katherine is K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. You can also find me or connect with me over at the website. That's www.katherinelang.com/contact. I'm also around the internet and easy to find, Katherine C. Lang. At Facebook, I'm the Katherine C. Lang. Over at Twitter, it's the @ Katherine C. Lang. At Google Plus, it's the +, Katherine C. Lang. And at YouTube, again, it's the Katherine C. Lang. Let's encourage each other to build up this friendship with God. Until we meet again, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Katherine with queries or questions at contactus@katherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.katherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Katherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.